So, today is November 18th, 2017. What is your name?
Greg Goodnight.
And where do you live?
3 1/2 northwest of Englewood.
Okay, and what's your occupation?
Farm and ranch.
And how old are you?
55.
When did you first become aware of the Starbuck Fire, hereafter referred to simply as the fire?
About 11 o'clock November, or March 6th, when they called out, when they paged Englewood to the fire.
And what were you paged to do?
Grab a fire truck and go put the fire out.
Were you doing mutual aid, or were you doing fire in Clark County?
Mutual aid.
Okay. So what truck were you on?
One of the 6x6s. I'm not sure what the number of it is.
And who were you with?
Chris K.
And were you the driver?
I was the driver.
Okay. And what was your first reaction when you heard about the fire?
Well, I was hoping they would take care of it. Actually, Levi Smith was acting as chief because Bernie wasn't here. And Levi told Chris and I just to wait here in Englewood or, you know, around in case they needed us. They were hoping at the time to be able to put it out. But by noon, I suppose, or before then, anyway, they'd called us, told us to get out there. And by the time we got out to where they'd set the tanker up, everybody else, all the rest of our crew was bailing out, and we knew all we could do is go protect structures at that time. Okay. It was more than we could handle.
Okay. Talk about wildfire in general. I mean, you've lived in the country in this area all the time and have seen lots of wildfires. How do they compare to what this fire was like?
There's nothing ever compared to this fire. Most fires, when they're burning, even with a 20-mile-an-hour wind or whatever, 30, the fire itself is probably 20 to 30 feet or 40 feet deep, the actual fire. This thing was probably 150 yards deep, the fire, and the heat was so intense with the 60-mile-an-hour wind, and then the flames, whenever you could see them, and the smoke were 40 or 50 feet high coming at you, and that didn't matter if it was on short grass or tall grass. I mean, it was like nothing I'd ever seen.
Yeah, where did you meet the fire at?
When we met the fire, we were southwest of Englewood, about dang near 20 miles back the time we got back up in there. We were south of the river and clear up there. I don't even know who in the next pastures we were in, but we were way back up in there. It was probably 7 or 8 miles from the point of origin time Englewood got in there to it.
So what'd you see?
Well, when I got there and they were bailing out, all you could see was smoke coming at us, and the flame hadn't come over the hill from where we were at, and we took off, and the first place to get to save was Frosty Ettinger's place. And so we went back there and we met up with Ashland, was coming in at that time, and we all met up at Frosty's and sat there and kept it from burning his place. And then we had to drive back through the fire to get ahead of it to try to get to the next places.
So where's the next place?
Well, we were going to my parents, Olus and Shirley Goodnight's place, and turned to go down the road going that way, and the fire ran over us before we could get to there, ran across in front of us. So we knew that we couldn't even get to his place in time. It was too late, so we bailed out, went around a different road, and we went to David Clausen's place because of the angle the fire was running. And we were there for, I don't know, probably 10 minutes and watching the smoke coming at us, and then the wind switched a little bit and started driving it further south than where we were. So then we bailed out of that and headed toward my house, which was back to the south about 3 miles. And the fire ran over us before we got to my house. And then I took my truck and went around my house to make sure it wasn't burning. And then the rest of the trucks went to Warren Harrington's place. But they were trying to get to Harry Walker's house, and they couldn't get there because the fire was coming down the tree rows. And so they staged there and saved that house from burning, but the barn and several other outbuildings caught fire and burned up.
So when you went to David Clausen's, were you the only truck or were there several trucks with you?
The first time, there was several. Ashland, I think, well, I don't know if they peeled off and went to England. Anyway, there was a bunch of us went to David's the first time. Then after we got everything out around my house and made sure that was okay, Chris and I went back to David Clausen's, and there was an Ashland truck got in there with us at that point. And then the Inglewood trucks left Harrington's and came to town, came to Inglewood, because it was already coming into Inglewood.
So you were the only truck that went back to David's, that was Inglewood truck?
Yeah.
The rest of them came into Inglewood?
Yeah, the rest of them came to Inglewood.
Okay. So the first time or the second time that you were at David's, did you help Mike McCarty?
The second time.
And how did you know he was down in the needed help?
While we were putting fire out behind his house, some guy, and I don't even know who he was, came running up to us and said, "Hey, there was a big four-wheel drive tractor and a disc just went by here a few minutes ago, and we haven't seen him or heard him since the fire ran over us." And I said, "How long ago was that?" And he said, "Oh, 5 minutes, 10 minutes at tops." So Chris and I called Mike on the phone to make sure he was okay, and he was. And he said, "I just can't see anything. He's in a bunch of trees." And he said, "I can't tell where I need to go or anything." So we went through a little fence that was right in front of us, went through that, and of course I could follow where the disc went. But the smoke was so bad, I had to look straight down out of the truck, out of the window of the truck. I couldn't see anything otherwise. So I just followed that, and pretty soon Chris hollered at me from the back, goes, "There he is." And I look up, and I'm 20 feet from that tractor. And so then we got Mike, and I told him, I said, "I know how to get us out of here now." So I let him back out, and got out of the fire anyway, and the smoke.
So you talk about a lot of smoke. Was it a distinctive color?
Hell, I don't know. You couldn't see through.
You just couldn't see it all.
Black and so much ash in it. Every breath was just like you ate it.
Did you have trouble breathing?
I pulled my Kevlar or Nomex hood up over my nose. That's the only respirator I had. Chris had a full face mask ventilator on, but that's a whole other point of the story on that.
Was he on the back?
Yeah, he was on the back. When we were going to David's the second time, there's a mile-long tree row from David's house, goes east for a mile, and the road makes a 90-degree curve around that tree row. When we'd been driving in that smoke, real heavy smoke, for at least a half mile, where I was just watching the edge of the road, and he was telling me from the back, you know, get over or whatever. When we got to the end of that tree road to make that turn, of course, I knew where I was on the road at that point, and started to make the turn, and all of a sudden, we're just faced with a wall of fire. You know, those trees are 60 or 70 feet tall, and it was just as high as you could see. It was orange. It was flame. Well, I backed out of there real quick and thought I was going to thought I was gonna have to go around on the south side. And was looking to see where the gate was so I could go through that gate. And then Chris tells me, he said, "No, we can go through now." He said, "That fire just run over us there." And okay. Well, when I look back at Chris, that heat was so hot that it burned both of the ventilators off the side of that mask. Just meeting that fire right there.
Yeah.
Because it wasn't that way prior to that.
So that makes it kind of hard to breathe then. And I mean,
well, I just left him open holes and nothing,
yeah,
to really strain it.
Yeah. And does he have some allergy issues that would cause a problem for him there?
Oh, I would imagine he's about like everybody else that lives in this country.
Yeah.
He'd eat dirt and cough it back out.
So did you have a tank full of water the second time you went to Clausen's?
Yeah. Yeah.
Had you used any water yet?
Oh, we'd used a lot of water. Yeah, we'd filled up two or three times prior to getting to David's.
Where'd you fill up at? I mean,
Inglewood's tanker truck was following us around up until we left from my house and went back to David's. At that point, we didn't have a tanker with us.
And then after you were, you know, got Mike back out of the area where he was in, Were you done at David Clausen's?
No, it was burning to the northwest of David's across the pasture, and we worked on, well, made sure everything was out around the house, and then we went and was trying to stop the fire progressing north and west. At that time, the wind was more out of the northwest, and so it was kind of the backside of the fire, and we were working on putting that out, and we got that part contained, or at least in that pasture, and it was way on further east of us from there. Mm-hmm. and then Ashland's truck, they broke down. Our truck, we couldn't pull water out of the tank, in a stock tank. We were trying to pull water, and something wasn't working right. And then Ashland had a breakdown, but their truck was full, so we pulled all their water off and left their truck, and those guys got on with us. And then the rest of Englewood's crew was calling for us to come back to town just as soon as we could.
So how far are you from Englewood?
About 10 miles northwest.
And when you were up there at Clausen's, are you pretty much on the north edge of the fire?
Yeah. Yeah,
we've been on because of the wind changing back. So did you make it to Englewood before it all caught on fire, or was it already burning pretty well?
It'd been through Englewood the time we got here. We got in here and just putting things out at that point. But I said we felt like the Keystone Cops because, you know, we're just going to run over here and put this out. Oh, there's that one. Run over there and put that one out.
Did it keep flaring up? Different places?
Yeah, there were places that I could be burning back under some limbs or something that you hadn't really noticed. Of course, there's so much smoke, you couldn't really see anything. You just drive around and go find some flame, I guess, is the way to put it.
Did you have trouble finding the roads in town?
No, it was pretty well? By then, it was, it was easy enough.
More of a haze?
Going. Yeah.
And the fire's on going east now?
Yeah, it's headed on.
And so did you follow it?
Not for quite a while. We basically stayed around town. Well, Chris and I did. Seemed like the rest of our crew went. Some of them went back to Bernard Smith's and Bernie's house and was working that away. And we kind of split up till it was probably about 3 o'clock in the morning when we ended up in Ashland, the whole bunch of us. Chris and I were the first ones over there.
So Englewood lost power. They also ran out of water.
Yeah.
Was that before you got back down here from David's, or was it about, while you were putting out fires?
Kind of about the same time. Well, yeah, it was about the same time because when we came to town from David's, we were out of water because we'd used what we'd pumped off of Ashland's truck. Mm-hmm. And then we came back in. That's another deal. We're coming. This fire acted like nothing you've ever seen or I've ever seen. We're coming down the highway, coming into town, and there's tankers set up at the firehouse, so we knew where we'd get water. And I'm running about 45 or whatever that truck had run coming down the highway into Englewood. And Eileen Butts lives north of town up here, and her driveway, there's about a 4-foot strip of grass that goes from the highway up to her house. And under her awning of her house, she had firewood stacked up there, about a 10-foot wide rick of firewood. And I'm doing 45 mile an hour, so it's not like I sat there and watched this happen. We're out of water. There's nothing I can do. I saw the fire run down that grass and hit that firewood and just spread across it like it had gasoline on it. And
just that quick?
Yeah, that quick. I've never seen anything like that in my life. Well, when we got to the firehouse, which is 3 blocks away, Wes McKinney's pulling out with a loaded fire truck, and I sent him to Eileen's and said, if you don't get there in a minute, that thing's done. It's gone. Mm-hmm. And so him and Kenny Worthington got up there, and they put that out and moved the wood out away from the house. But that was the craziest fire.
But didn't get into the house?
No.
Just through the wood?
Just got into the wood.
Yeah. So who were the firefighters from Ashland that you picked up at Clausen's? Do you know?
Don't have a clue.
Two?
Yeah.
Just two?
Two.
Yep. So, and then, how are you getting water on the tanker? I mean, the tanker is going to run out.
Well, oil filled. companies, General Incorporated out of Laverne, and I think there was another oil company around here. They just started loading their semis and heading them up here.
And so do you know how many semis they sent?
A bunch. I know our tanker driver, our Inglewood guys that drive our Inglewood tanker, mm-hmm. one of them said he quit counting after he'd loaded that thing 55 times, 5,000 gallons a load.
From their tanker onto his tanker
yeah.
to take to you.
Yeah.
So where did you stage the Inglewood tanker at to help?
Well,
just here in town, or did
no,
you move
he,
it
he followed. East? He followed us, followed our crew wherever we went.
So, like, what places did you go?
I was in town until dark. I don't even remember where we went. I know it was like 3 o'clock in the morning when we went to Ashland.
So was it dark when you came back from Clausen's, or was it still light?
No, it was still light then.
So it was like 5 o'clock or so?
Yeah, probably.
And you were fighting fire most of the night in Inglewood, and did you fight on your way over to Ashland?
No.
How'd you go to Ashland?
We just took the highway and went over.
Then you didn't see any fire on the highway?
No. Well, to the south and east of us.
You could see it, but
yeah.
you weren't close to it.
Right? Yeah, they'd call us to come to Ashland to help them because the fires were backfiring back into Inglewood or Ashland and trying to come in from the north.
How did you communicate? Because that north fire kind of did away with some of the radio signal, right?
Yeah,
or did
our,
you realize it?
Stuff, I didn't know that. Our stuff was still working.
Were you doing talk around?
Yeah, probably.
You have 800?
Yeah,
there
we
were 800 radios?
But not, I don't think in all the trucks. We were on
but
talk around.
You have some, yeah. On the talk around. So when you went to Ashland, did you stop at the firehouse? Is that where you went? Or did you go?
No, we went to Millie's, the EMS deal. Mm-hmm. And that's where they told us. Chris and I went in there and they handed us a sandwich and then told us they wanted us to go to the southeast side of Ashland and told us the street. And I said, I don't have a clue where you're talking about. And Joe Fast jumped in a rig and took us out there. And then we put out about a 3/8 of a mile of fire that was back burning into town and got that put out. And then about the time we got done with that, we were out of water. And then the rest of our crew showed up in town. And so it was trying to burn on the north side of the bridge down into the creek. And I told them, I said, go get that stopped because it gets in those trees and then it's going to be an all-nighter right there. So I got that put out.
So the wind died down before you got over here to Ashland?
Yeah, I believe the wind had laid down quite a bit.
And did you remember the temperature dropping?
Don't really remember that part.
But you know it did, right?
Yeah.
It got cold after a while. Did you have to switch gear?
No.
Were you wearing turnout gear or were you wearing wildfire gear?
No, it was turnout gear.
So you were pretty warm?
Yeah, we were plenty warm.
And plenty protected?
Yeah.
Okay. Did you have trouble with your eyes?
Well, not for the first day anyway. After
yeah,
that, it
after
was...
After that?
Yeah.
So when was the first time that you got to get off the truck or have some relief and go check on your ranch?
Well, we came back to Inglewood, I think it was like 5:30 when we parked everything at the firehouse and everybody went home and at 5:30, everybody went home for a little bit. Of course, nobody had electricity.
Right.
And I grabbed a couple of buckets of water out of the stock tank and washed my face off as much as I could and tried to lay down. And by 7 o'clock, we were back on the fire trucks because the wind had kicked back up and we were back out fighting fire again.
Okay, so where was your family while you were fighting fire? And did they know where you were at?
Yeah, I think Austin was at Coldwater with Becky Lerman. She'd taken him with her when they evacuated there. And Pixie, I had sent her to Laverne, and I didn't have any idea it was burning down there either at the time. Anyway, she went to Laverne and was with her folks down there, and they never did have to evacuate down there, but they were getting close.
And so when did they return? When did they come home?
Well...
The third day?
No, it was the second day, morning. Second day, it was in the morning, Becky Lerman took me back to Ashland when it was everything was okay, and I went to her house, and then I got a hold of my mom, and she got to Ashland, and we went home. And then you got home about the time that you said. So
the second day, were you on fire truck all day, or did you get to go check cattle?
Nope, got home at 9:30 that night.
Did you get any food?
Somebody was providing us sandwiches or something along the way.
At the firehouse or here at school, or did they bring them to you?
Yeah, I think we'd just run into somebody passing stuff out occasionally. I don't even recall all that.
So how soon did you get electricity back?
I have a generator at home that I got going, but we were really fortunate. I'm mixing up the ice storm and the fire deal. We really weren't out of power at my house, but maybe a day, or the first 2 days of the fire. But we were on the trucks from 7 o'clock Tuesday morning till 9:30 Tuesday night, and we came home and everybody went home, and then we were back on the trucks again Wednesday at about 7.
So did you get any of the strike teams over here? On Wednesday they showed up over here?
Yeah, and the airplanes and the helicopters.
And did those help a lot?
They just got in the tree rows. Yeah, mopped up. I was glad to see them. There's no way they could have been here on Monday. I mean, they couldn't have flown, for one thing.
Yeah, with the way the wind was.
Yeah.
So, and did they do a lot of flying over this side of town or
the
county?
Did. What little I saw, the only reason I even saw them was because on Wednesday at about noon, Bernie sent me back in here because we had two of our fire trucks were broke down. I don't even remember what I was working on, but I came in here and started working on one of them, and I had it finished by about 4:30. And one of the other ones seemed like clutch went out on it. Wasn't nothing I could do with it. But anyway, right in about 4:30, I hear these planes flying around. I look up, and there was four spray planes coming from the northeast. And they all come in there, and they were just one right behind the other one. They circled around town, and then on the east side of town, there's a tree row over there. And they made a bombing run, one right behind the other one on that tree row, and then I hear something else and look up, and there's two Blackhawks following them, and they came around and they made a little more precision drops on it than the spray planes. That was pretty cool watching that.
To make sure the tree row was out?
Yeah, well, it was still burning back in there, and they were dumping water on it.
So did you ever know where they got the water?
Nope. Were they filling the Blackhawks up at Prophet, or were they...
I think they were going to try. Oh. They had to go down to the river.
Oh, really?
And I'm not. And they. Gray County has a digger, and they brought that over to dig down into the bed of the river. But I'm not sure where they did that. If it was over this way, or if it was over like Snake Creek way.
Yeah.
And that's what they were getting water out, because they couldn't go out of the state lake. Some reason.
Par for the course.
Yeah. So you were doing a lot of mechanic work?
Well, just that afternoon I did. I had to put a pump on a motor on one of the pumps on one of the fire trucks. And then, like I said, about 4:30 or 5-ish, somewhere in there, then the rest of our trucks come driving in. They released them and they came back. We'd been over around east of Gardner's back there on that creek. It runs through there, putting out a lot of trees, and then that's when the Colorado strike teams all showed up, and they were back in there working on the trees, so
yeah,
we come home.
What's your most vivid memory of the fire?
Probably the most vivid one was when we ran into it there at Clausen's Tree Row. I mean, that was the big pucker up moment. Thanks, everybody. Thought, well, we're done.
Because it was so high, too, right?
Oh, yeah. And at Frosty's, the anticipation, watching that thing come. Uh-huh. That was the first time we were run over by it. and we watched it come for 3/4 of a mile coming at us and knew, you know, this is either it or not. And we'd soaked everything down. We cut around Frosties, and we just had to stay there and wait for it.
So they really saved most everything out there, didn't they?
At Frosty's? Yeah, I don't think Frosty lost anything, any structures or anything.
So when did you get to go check your own property and find out?
Well, it would have been probably Wednesday before we got to that, because just, you know, sheer exhaustion. And all my, excuse me, all my cattle, I run yearlings and had them all on wheat.
Right.
So I didn't lose any cattle to the fire. Had to put 2 horses down that got burned. Didn't lose any machinery or any structures that we used. We had some old buildings out in pastures that...
Did it come close to your house?
Yeah, within about 15 feet.
And what about your folks' house?
We had some... It wasn't planted to wheat, but it was worked stubble fields around their house, and that broke it around their place. But at my house, when the fire ran over us, we were about 1/4 mile north of my house when the fire hit us. And so I told them, I'm going to pull in my house, make sure nothing's burning there. And I, of course, know where my driveway is until I almost hit the highline pole that's north of my driveway, about 30 feet.
Kind of smoky?
Yeah, just a little bit. And so we start going in. I'm going to go around the house from the north side and go around the west side, you know, so I figured that was on fire, if anything was. All of a sudden, I run over this huge ridge of dirt that's there, and then I realized I've got had road graders in my yard putting a fire guard around my house. And so we come around the house to the south side, and I almost run into the 2 road graders that are still there because the fire ran over them, and they had no idea where to go or what to do, so they were stopped, and I was within 20 feet of them before I saw them. And
so were they local? Were they?
Yeah.
Clark County?
Yeah. I can't even think of who it was. But yeah, there's Clark County road graders.
I think one was Henry White.
Yeah, Henry White might have been on one of them. But anyway, so then we put out what little was burning on the west side of my house. And the fire, the road graders had stopped. I mean, there was 15 feet of grass that did not burn right up to my house. And we put everything else out. And then I've got a row of trees on the south side of the house of pines, and they were burning. So we go around them on the south side, putting that out. And then I circle back around and making another round on it. When I go to come around it the second time, I thought, oh, crumb, I've got a hydrant sticking up out here in the yard somewhere. I wonder where in the heck it is.
Ooh.
Well, I come around, well, I'd run over it the first time.
Oh.
But we didn't have electricity, so there's no water running anyway.
No problem.
Yeah. So just one more thing to fix. And I can't blame that on anybody but me.
Yeah. So when could you first see what kind of damage you had on your pastures and stuff? Did you lose pasture?
Oh, yeah.
Lose fence?
Yeah, lots and lots of fence. I suppose, you know, Wednesday just kind of went driving around trying to figure out what had happened and where it went.
Did you lose hay?
Yeah. Yeah, it found every stack of hay I had.
So then your cattle are on wheat, and
yeah,
you probably now don't have any wheat or any pasture to take them to after you have to take them off wheat.
No, the plan was to sell them anyway. They were going to come off by the 15th of March. But the trick was it burned fences around the field, so cattle were kind of going wherever they wanted. Of course, they'd always come back to the wheat because there wasn't anything else. So we patched fences up. I had one bunch of cattle just west of town here that left twice and came back with other cattle both times.
Uh-huh.
They were finding neighbors' cattle and bringing them in. Hey, we got wheat over here. Come
so
on.
Do you have? Did you have water?
Yeah.
Did you have any tanks that burnt or?
No.
Did you have any solar panels that were destroyed?
Well, none of that stuff got destroyed. I don't know how it managed, but it didn't. The tanks were full of water. I guess the water kept them cool enough they didn't burn.
Yeah.
Any fiberglass tanks.
And like the solar panels, the wires were all still intact, so you didn't.
Yeah, well, the only one that I was using at the time, it's in a pen where there wasn't any grass or anything to burn right there anyway, so it
went over pretty fast.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you had to do some quick fence building. Did you have some help to do that?
Well, two guys worked for me.
And you just put up electric fence to start
with? No, we just stuck enough posts in it, pulled the wires back up to kind of make a suspension fence. They weren't really interested in leaving anyway.
Yeah, no other
nothing
grass
to go, yeah.
So did you get a lot of volunteers coming to help and bringing you hay?
Yeah, we got lots of hay in from the donations and fence supplies. And
did you help organize that over here at Englewood?
Yeah, because I'm basically on the west end of this thing. They designated me to be the drop-off point. And the only way I could see to do it fairly was I just went from about a mile east of Englewood from Vince Eisenbart's house and up to Mike McCarty's house. And then I took from that line west, and I gathered up names of ranchers, everybody west here. I had 21 people on my list. And whenever I'd get in whatever they would donate, like two pallets of wire and a pallet of posts or something, I would divide it all out by 21 and send a group text to everybody and say, you have five posts and a roll of wire or something like that.
Right.
And they knew where my stockpile was, and they'd just come get whatever.
What about the hay? Did you have hay delivered directly to people?
Yeah, we had hay. They hit us so fast with it, you know, didn't know what was coming. We just started unloading it in town. And we had probably 1,500 round bales. Well, we had right at 1,000 round bales in town. And then we kind of got things organized, and we started going out to ranches with them, you know, started taking the hay out. And then about at least two weeks later, maybe three, we had all this hay in town, and I just hated to have it sitting here in town. You know, somebody throw a match in it or something happening.
Yeah.
So Bernie Smith and I decided we're going to start getting it out of town. I've got a semi, and he's got one. And then, of course, there are more trucks coming in, and those guys were always willing to help do whatever. So on this Saturday morning, I took my semi, and I've got a round bale hauler, and we started hauling hay out to our headquarters west of town, and we'd hauled three semi-loads and a couple trips with the hay trailer out there. And then Bernie was going to come in and help us. Well, when we get back with the fourth load, and now we're going to go on to another place.
Right.
And I had a tractor here in town to load with, and then I had another one I was unloading with. Well, when my truck comes to town to get a load of hay, there's another truck here. And so he's going to help. So now we got two trucks. And we start hauling out west out to another place. And I unload them. They come back to get another load. Well, when they come back, now there's three trucks. So we got three semis doing it.
Yep.
And we just keep going. And I was putting about 100 bales to a stack yard, and we're just moving on west. And by the time I get to the last place I go to unload them, I've got two trucks sitting here that I'm unloading, and there are eight of them sitting on the road. And so I called Bernie, and I said, hey, where are you at? And he said, well, we just got done unloading. Said they had 15 trucks show up out there. He said, we just got them unloaded, and they were going to throw their Bobcats on and come help me unload. So they get up there, and we get it all unloaded. Well, in the course of 4 hours, we had moved, I think it was like 1,500 round bales out in the country, and scattered them out. And then we had more show up after that, but we had everything kind of organized from there.
So, but for about how long did hay keep showing up?
March, April, probably into somewhere in May anyway.
And same thing with fencing and other supplies?
Yeah, fencing kind of dribbled in here and there. And But yeah, it came slower.
Right. So did you ever go over and spend some time with the volunteers at the Christian camp?
I never went over, no.
So how would you describe the emotional response to the fire? And what have you done, like, yourself to cope with the fire?
I don't know. I'm still dealing with it. This fence thing, we're still going on. It'll probably be Christmas, if we're lucky, we'll be done fencing, and that's just consumed every free second I've had trying to bill out for the fences. You know, I'll go home, get home at dark, and then go spend anywhere from 2 to 5 hours on the computer getting everything figured out.
So how many miles of fence do you think you had that you had to replace?
Well, we will be over 50 miles of replaced fence by the time this is done, and we had 120 or so that was affected by the fire.
And then how many landlords do you have that you have to deal with?
About 8 of them.
Yeah, that you
myself
actually...
Myself included, yeah.
Yeah, that you share the cost of different things.
And that's just my particular landowners. That doesn't even count all the guys that are bordering me on the outside.
So are you replacing fences where they were or repairing them, or are you taking this chance to move some of your interior fences, or do you need to do
pretty
that?
Much everything's going right back where it was. We've straightened a few fences out.
Yeah.
You know.
So did you take advantage of the applications where the KLA and the Community Foundation offered help?
Oh, it was fantastic what those people have provided.
Yeah. And there were some other groups, right?
Yeah, the Texas deal. Can't think what that was called. We got money from, I think, 4 different deals. So it's great, I tell you.
Who were some of the people or agencies that proved most helpful? During the fire, after the fire, still? What's something that you didn't expect?
Well, all the donated money, for sure. And the hay and the fencing materials. I mean, just the fact that it came from as far as Wisconsin. And, well, we had some people from, I want to say Maine, but it's not Maine. Had
some from Maryland.
Guys, Maryland.
Pennsylvania.
Yeah, Pennsylvania. You know, just, it shows there's still good people out in the country. And we had a group of ranchers from Montana came out.
So did you have any volunteer help come out and help you, like FFA and 4-H kids?
Yeah, we had, first group was a bunch of girls from Montezuma that came out and helped. They took their spring break to come out and strip fence.
And what did you do with all the burnt wood and barbed wire?
Well, we've got a big pit out west town that we put all the posts in and the wire. We've stacked it up, and there's a crew, Eco something or other, I can't think what they are, but anyway, they're coming around and gathering up everybody's wire and hauling it off. And they've
so
taken
they can recycle it?
Yeah. They've taken at least one truckload from us, and we'll have another one the time we're done.
Yeah. So can you perceive of anything positive that came from the fire?
Lots of new fence.
Yeah?
That's about it. A lot of expense in it.
Yep, there is. So what can you do or have you done to prepare for a future incident?
There isn't a whole lot you can do. I've got Inglewood is protected again because I've got lots of wheat around Inglewood. But, yeah, that's just a year-to-year thing. And, yeah, there's nothing you can do. We're set up this year in a higher fire danger than we were last year because of the fact that I know most of the guys around me are just like me. We couldn't run. I couldn't run a third of the cattle I normally run because I didn't have fences to hold them. So I've got several thousand acres out here that had no cattle on them, and the grass is knee high at least, and the weeds are shoulder high.
So how did the grass come back? I mean, is it good grass? Is it?
Well, we're so sandy out here. A lot of our buffalo grass and blue gramma and stuff, it came back in spots, but they're huge spots that look like it killed it. Mm-hmm. But the rains that we had in August, those last rains, you could see a lot of that stuff trying to come and trying to grow. But where the grass didn't grow is the solid weeds, you know, fireweeds.
And can you see a difference after the last freeze? It killed any of the weeds or stuff? Or?
Oh, yeah, the weeds are all dead, but they're just ripe for a match, you know, something starts them.
Yeah. So what about the community or the county? What can it do to prepare? What kind of things could they do differently?
I don't know that there's anything anybody could do. A fire like that, you know, it skipped over the roads. It never even slowed down. I mean, it was carrying that fire so fast and so far and so wide. You know, I don't perceive any way of stopping that. I've heard people say, well, you ought to have to burn off some of that CRP, you know, or build fire breaks or something. The people that were saying that were more on the eastern end of this fire, where the ground is harder and it didn't blow. This ground out here looked like the moon. I mean, our hills blew off and any little puff air, and we just turned into the dirty 30s again.
Did you have a lot of ash left over?
Yeah. Our ash was just same
went.
Day buried.
Yeah.
You know, if you go out in the pastures right now and dig down that top 2 inches, it's solid black because it just rolled it over and covered it.
Yeah, you recently had a grass fire over here. How did everybody feel about that?
Oh, we were a little strung, but there wasn't nothing. You know, we were all ready.
Do you think the way that you react to fires now is a little differently than what you did before March 6th?
Our crew, our guys over here, we're watching for smoke constantly. And we know if there's a fire and you can see the smoke, we're on the way before the page is called. Because that's just the way it is. I mean, we're setting, that's basically all we got right here is grass. So
yeah.
You better be there really quick.
Yeah. So, let me see. Were you at home when you received the page for the fire? Or were you in town?
No, I think we were probably out at the headquarters west of town. I don't think we got. I know I wasn't in town because we went, well, when we did get the page, I think that's when Chris Kenny worked for me too. And Kenny went on the trucks. Chris and I. They told us just to hang here, so we went down grabbing something to eat right quick. And about the time we got that woof down, well, then they called us to come to the fire. So
yeah, and then you were at it till Tuesday morning.
Forever.
Yeah. So when did you said on Wednesday they released you?
Yeah.
From the fire department because the strike teams were here. When did you go back on duty? Do you remember, or did they tell you?
Yeah, we were on duty as soon as they turned us loose. I mean, there's no. If you're here, you're alive, you're on duty.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, but you weren't officially.
Yeah, they just didn't count us as being on the truck. we were here.
Now, when you found out this fire was coming, did you call any of your friends and neighbors and say, you need to go do something?
Well, somebody was talking on the radio, I don't remember who it was, and I knew they were near a phone or whatever. I told them to call Harry Walker and get a disc hooked up and get the disc in. And then I called my wife and told her to get the heck out of there, which she didn't do right off the bat.
Did she wait?
Yeah, she waited. But she got out of there, thank God.
Did she get out before the fire got there?
Just barely. No, she probably had 20 minutes before it got through there, but she dinked around way longer than she was supposed to.
Yeah. So did she take anything of value with her, or did she just leave?
I don't have a clue. I imagine her purse and her cell phone.
She took the dog. Well, she...
Did she?
Oh.
The ghost.
I think she left the dogs at the trailer. I think that... Or maybe took them with the to Laverne, but...
Yeah, most people I've heard took dogs. Or their cats. Didn't take medicine.
Yeah.
Our dogs. Important.
Yeah, we don't have any dogs anymore.
So do you have any other thoughts about this experience or anything that sticks out in your mind that you'd like to mention?
Well, I just hope it doesn't happen again. And we're set up for it to happen. There's nothing to keep it from going. I know it seems like most of the high lines are in a lot better shape than they were. That's what started this one.
All of them.
Yeah.
So, okay, anything else? Okay, thank you very much for sharing your experience.
Yeah.